passionate about the stacking alternatives that we have in our document right now on both sides of the issue. I'll reference for the council document number 6 behind tab 4 from a Paul Weckesser. I'm sorry if I mispronounce your name if you're here. There's an open letter from the Scallop Capacity Reduction Coalition. And then I was hand-delivered a letter from Ouellette and Smith today, which I think will be made available to the council members as time goes on. I'll note in document number 4, which is a summary of the most recent Scallop Committee meeting on the last page, the final issue of the day was a discussion on the alternative to allow stacking. And one of the comments leapt off the page at me in the summary. It says that the public process, a statement was made that the public process is against them and that there's a perception that people have made their mind up about stacking already. So I assume those comments are that the council members have made up their mind about stacking and that there isn't a good, transparent, open public process. So we have some time today, and in an orderly fashion, if some people want to get up and address the issue to the council in a calm manner, I'd be willing to entertain those comments. If anyone wants, Steve?
Good afternoon, Mr. Chairman, members of the council. I appreciate the opportunity to speak on this issue. Just to touch back on that issue you just raised, obviously I'm here and many people are here because they do believe that the council will give a full and fair opportunity for hearing on these issues. There clearly is some concern among some that this is the capacity reduction alternatives that are being offered by a very few for the benefit of a few. And there's always a concern among some who are not actively involved in the process that those few may have inordinate influence over the council process. And my suspicion is that in this case, this is an issue the council is going to look long and hard at because it does involve some fairly serious modifications to the way this fishery has been conducted over the last 15 years. Let me begin by saying that I represent a number of small, of single vessel or small fleet owners who are very concerned about the concept of capacity reduction as it is currently set forth in the amendment document. And the concern is this. What we are really looking at here is an attempt to make certain business operations more efficient. It's an economic factor that is driving this. It's not truly capacity reduction. It's not going to reduce the amount of product that's caught. In point of fact, the amount of product that's being caught is consistent with our biological objectives. It's not going to reduce the number of days that vessels spend at sea. It's not going to reduce the amount of fuel burned. It's not going to reduce the amount of ice used. The intent is to take two permits and make one vessel a much more efficient, profit-making machine. And some people may say, well, why would you ever oppose that? And the answer is fairly simple. People have participated in this fishery for 15 years. They've done so understanding that permits had certain relationships, vessels had certain relationships, that each vessel had certain access. And by allowing consolidation at this point in time, what you are going to encourage is movement of multiple permits to much more efficient vessels. Eventually what you're going to see is, as we saw with what I'll call the mini consolidation in the groundfish fishery, which was just leasing, use rates went up. The end result was that overall fleet-wide landings had to be reduced, and the consolidation aspect, in that case the leasing, resulted in a reallocation of the fishery, which significantly and disparately impacted those who couldn't afford to go out and lease more days. So in this instance, you're really putting the single permit holder at a disadvantage. Probably more important is, at present, we have anti-consolidation restrictions within the regulations. We limit the size of vessels, the 10-10-20 increase rules. What you're going to do now is you're going to put people in a position where economically they can take two permits, and basically, you know, right now, as I read the council documents, the predicted profitability on the average of the 345 limited access permits is about a $300,000 profit to a non-working owner. So one would think if you own two boats, 3 plus 3 is 6. If you consolidate them, 3 plus 3 is 8. It's a very good return for an owner. The difficulty is that it changes the nature of the fishery from what is basically small businesses, small fleets, to really much more of a corporate structure. And that's going to be a real sea change for this fishery. It's something that really scares most of the individual boat owners or the small fleet owners, and it well should. Because as you get up into the ownership of 15 or 16 vessels, and we understand there's a rumor that one of these companies is to split into 6 parts and is now planning on purchasing as many as 100 permits through the ownership rules, where the owners are actually technically different and the shareholders are different, but they're all controlled by one. And so the concern is you've now, the fishery is pretty profitable. Most people are very viable. I think you'll hear from any individual vessel owner that they are viable. But the concern is now, 15 years into the program, we're going to scrap all of the protections we had, primarily the anti-consolidation provisions, for economic efficiency. In theory, these vessels may then come back 3 years from now and say, well, now that we've done this and we've consolidated, maybe we don't need as many crew, maybe we can go to mechanical shucking, maybe we can go to a trawler processor type of fishery. I understand the lay share system is being eliminated in some of these fleets. One of the theories of Magnuson is basically to provide as much return to the American people as possible. Well, in some cases, it may be appropriate to shape the rules that one or more people make a large profit. The question is, where what we're talking about is really only an economic efficiency issue. Do we really want to put some owners in a position where they can effectively force half of the workers out of the fishery and realize that profit? It doesn't help the resource. It doesn't help the American people. It certainly doesn't help the small vessel owner. So as we look at it, more and more small vessel owners and small fleet owners are looking at this very concerned. And Mr. Weckesser undertook to send out his survey. He canvassed all of the limited access boat owners. As I understand, when I had last seen it, he had gotten back about 90 owners of 90 vessels had responded. I think now he's had about 170 owners of 170 vessels responded. Of those, owners of 125 are opposed to any of these capacity reductions. And the primary parties who responded they were in favor are owners of 15 or 16 vessels apiece. So that kind of tells you what the split is. So the real question, and the reason it's raised at this point as the amendment is going forward, is that the council has many other tasks to do. Perhaps the most important allocation decision that you're ever faced with is, right now, allocation of your time to deal with the many issues. So these small, single vessel and small fleet owners believe that at this point, this issue, which really only works to the benefit of a very few larger fleet owners, really should not be taking up the council's time going forward in the amendment process. That really, with the other issues you face, with ACLs and ACMs and turtle issues and frameworks, that at this point in time, it's not appropriate to dedicate a huge amount of time to the desire of a few to consolidate and make more efficient their position in the fishery. So for those reasons, Certainly my clients, and I believe virtually all of the single vessel owners and small fleet owners who signed on or voted against the consolidation contained in the capacity reduction proposals, believe that the council should not proceed with that portion of the amendment. I thank you for your time.
Thanks, Steve. Jeff?
Good evening. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be brief. My name is Jeffrey Pike, and I represent the SeaSculpt Capacity Reduction Coalition, representing owners of approximately 100 permits full-time with an investment close to $500 million, and in some cases with three generations of family fishing. A scallop permit today is valued at approximately $2.5 million, just to put it in context. And with respect to small fleet, the small fleet fishery today is a general category fleet. We all know that a new vessel and a permit combined, you're talking north of $3 to $4 million. So we need to put this in perspective. We've attended every PDT AP committee meeting and council meeting in support of capacity reduction, and we've done so for several years. We tried in Amendment 11 to have the council address capacity through sectors, and were not successful. We thank the council for finally addressing this now, and the issue or avenues of stacking and leasing, which we support co-equally, are the only measures left in Amendment 15. ITQs has now been rejected. Sectors has been eliminated. So really, stacking and leasing are the only measures where we can, in fact, reduce capacity on a voluntary basis. This is not like ITQs where the entire fishery goes to a quota system. This is a voluntary program. If you don't like it, if you don't want to do it, don't do it. And make no mistake, there is a tremendous amount of overcapacity in a scallop fishery. A decade ago, our boats would work 200 to 250 days. Today, a full-time vessel receives an allocation representing 80 days. The rest of the time, they're tied to the dock. So to be clear, our vessels are active less than 25% of the time. Over 75% of the year, they sit idle. And what do? We move crew, we move wire, we move winches, everything, electronics. We have a lot of steel just sitting in the water, wasting. To address the waste inefficiency and to match harvesting capacity more closely with resource availability, we've promoted a fair and transparent and voluntary system of stacking and leasing. The details of our proposal are in the blue sheet that I provided you, but the highlights are that only two permits could be stacked if you stacked. One full-time to full-time, occasional to occasional, etc. If permits were dissimilar, we would impose a power adjustment, as the committee is now considering. We don't support any increase in fishing effort, fishing mortality, and would make sure that the power adjustment, as it relates to the open areas and days at sea, would be imposed so as not to increase fishing mortality. Leasing days at sea and trips would also be authorized, and the same power adjustment would be made if dissimilar vessels leased days or trips. DeVore has done a lot of good work on this, and the committee's got proposals before it on how those adjustments would be made. The 5% ownership cap would continue, and it would apply to both stack permits and leased days and trips. There has been some concern that the ownership requirements that are in the scallop fishery somehow are ineffective and people make up games and so on. Whether you authorize stacking or leasing, that 5% ownership cap is still in there. And if it's not good tomorrow, it's not good today, or it's not good yesterday. So our proposal has nothing to do with the effectiveness of the 5% ownership cap. And as far as I'm aware, there's nobody that's seeking to purchase 100 vessels. It just doesn't make sense. Lastly, I would ask the council to challenge those opposed to leasing or stacking, why they don't believe there is excess capacity, and to show how our proposal disadvantages individual vessel owners. For example, today if a so-called small boat fleet or an independent vessel operator owner wanted to purchase additional fishing opportunity, they would have to buy a permit and a boat. Under our proposal, they could lease an additional trip, lease days. They would be able to increase fishing opportunity on their platform. So this is a way that would allow them to increase their opportunity without purchasing a full permit and or an additional vessel. The council's managed a very healthy resource, and you deserve to be congratulated. Let's not wait to have a crisis to address excess capacity. We've tried to address this in the past, as I've mentioned. And right now we're looking at 2011 for implementation of Amendment 15. If we have to wait for another amendment, it will likely be, and I'm not sure, Paul, 2020 or so, when things would dramatically change. We hope that's not the case. We hope that you'll continue to look at this, keep these in the document, evaluate it, get public comment, see if we can perfect these and address specific problems that people identify. But we believe that you're on the right course and commend the committee and the council for all their hard work on this. Thank you.
Dave Gaethel.
Mr. Pike, could you come back for just a second? I want to ask you a couple questions. Yeah. Of the boats you represent, are any of these boats economically non-viable now? I mean, are any of them threatened with bankruptcy or anything like that?
I'm not privileged to look at individual financial information of the vessel owners, so I can't tell you that.
Okay. Because, I mean, there's a fundamental difference potentially between, say, scallops and groundfish, where a groundfish allotment of days at sea is not enough for a boat to reach its break-even point. I'm not aware that in scallops right now there's any vessels that don't receive enough days to reach their break-even point.
Well, I think, if you will, National Standard Number 5 talks about efficiency, and I think that if you look at New Bedford Harbor, for example, and look at all the idle vessels, you would wonder why we have 250 boats when stacking and leasing might reduce the fleet to 175. Our projections are probably 50 to 70 vessels would be eliminated from the fishery. We would still have a very large number of vessels. And certainly we would be creating jobs that are on single platforms instead of crews hopping from vessel to vessel. We hope that we'll create a safer fleet as some of the older boats get weeded out. If people stack, some of the newer boats will be sold through the industry. If they lease, hopefully they'll put those days or trips on more capable, more safe vessels. So we think that it's a win-win all the way around.
Okay. It's now 5 o'clock. We're on to other business. Any council member want